Hi, Anissa.
Hi.
I am so sorry that you were having issues.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's no problem.
Listen, I just finished a listening session, and technology was not on my side. I was never able to connect, so I was not surprised by you not being able to get into today. So what I'm going to do, since this episode is 30 minutes and we have 15 minutes left, I'm going to ask you, or maybe we can record your piece later. Maybe I can come up with a new, you know, a new show, or you can record it on your phone and email it to me. I think then that will be the best. And I'm excited to meet you.
I am really excited, too. Thank you for having me.
So what we're going to do, we're going to be recording, they call it like a introduction and an outro and intro, and we're going to be adding music and all of that. So our staff is going to be doing that next week. So I'm just going to go straight to the questions. If at any time you don't like what you said, you can just repeat it, and our beautiful Justine is just going to take care of all of that, okay? So it's really informal. We can mess up, okay?
All right, sounds good.
I'll decide if, you know, whatever works best. If we needed more time or you wanted to add something, you can record it and send it to me, okay?
All right, thank you.
So I know that you have all my questions. I might, you know, not ask all of them or ask one before another one, depending on how our conversation goes, okay? And it's, we all should right. have. Our target was to have like a 15-minute show or 20-minute show, depending. All right. So my first question, and this is something that everybody wants to know in our office. Remember, we're with the National Center of Domestic Violence. So what was your reaction when you learned that your portrait made by your beautiful grandmother, Perla Sofía González, that was commissioned by our organization to be featured in all of our International Women's Day materials?
Honestly, I mean, I'm a very outgoing person, but I also don't really like being the center of attention.
Huh?
So, you know, one thing is, you know, being part of community and interacting with people and being in a group dynamic. And then another thing is having your face, being the face for International Women's Day for your organization. And so at first I was like a little bit scared. I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to be looking at my face. And, you know, it was a little bit strange for me at first. But, you know, like I was really happy that, you know, my abuela got to, she, like her painting was picked for, you know, from your organization. And so, you know, I was really happy for her. And so, of course, I was, you know, really happy about that. So it's going to take some adjusting, though.
You're famous now. And let me tell you, everybody loves it. Everybody loves your portrait, not just because of your physical beauty, but what it means. It's your, you know, your abuela is so proud of you. It shows in the portrait, and it's, you look so strong and so determined. And that's one of the reasons that we're so excited to have you, you know, share a little bit about yourself. I know that as Latinos here in the United States, it's really hard. It's really hard for us. I know that you grew up here in the States. I grew up in Puerto Rico. So tell me a little bit about growing up here in the States as a Muslim Latina. You know, that must have been difficult.
I mean, I had a very unique experience just due to the fact that I grew up in the Muslim community for, like, you know, the first 12 years of my life or so. So I was very, you know, sheltered and in the Muslim community. And being Latino and being Muslim and those intersections can be very difficult because when you're part of the Muslim community, it's, you know, especially in the community I grew up in, it was majority Arab or South Asian. And so I oftentimes found myself being told that, you know, I wasn't really allowed to embrace my culture as a Latino, or like I wasn't really allowed to be Latino, and people telling me how I'm supposed to talk and how I'm supposed to act. And it was very, like, difficult in that sense. And then there was me feeling like I wasn't Latino enough because I was Muslim. Because typically Latinos, you know, are usually, like, Catholic, Christian. That's, you know, because of missionaries coming to Latin America and colonization and all of that stuff. And it was very, very strange for me. You know, I went to public school for middle school, and I wore the scarf, the hijab, and it was very, you know, it was very overwhelming because I was surrounded by other Latino students and friends, and those are the people I surrounded myself with. And I oftentimes found myself feeling excluded because I was Muslim. I was viewed as, oh, well, like, are you really Latino? Like, you wearing that on your head, Latino? And so it was always from one community to the other, you know, either not being Muslim enough or not being Latino enough, and finding a way to, you know, find a space in between both of those became very hard. And then there was just the fact being Latino in America and being Muslim in America, you have a lot of animosity coming towards you. A lot of people, you know, don't like Muslims, and a lot of people do not like Latinos. And you feel that. And, you know, me as a white passing Latino, obviously I didn't get as much discrimination as a Latino because many people couldn't tell. But definitely as a Muslim, I got a lot of discrimination. And if people found out that I was Latino as well, you know, it was kind of like they looked at me different.
So interesting. And so, you know, your story is just wonderful. So all of that, being that feeling of being excluded from one community and the other. So how did you become an activist?
Honestly, I don't like to label myself as an activist per se, just because I feel like I haven't done nearly enough to deserve the title. When I think of activists, I think of people like Fred Hampton, Asata Shakur, or, you know, even people who aren't really historical figures yet, but like the kids from the Florida shooting. And then there's some people from my area, the DMV, who are like Muhammad Tal and Tariq Touré, and they've all done so much. When it comes to activism. So I feel like to call myself an activist, I would kind of be undermining the word because I feel like I haven't yet done enough to deserve that title. But what got me interested in activism was definitely, especially through poetry. Like, I do a lot of activism through poetry. That's where most of my activism lies. And that was definitely, like, my experiences, first of all. Like, you know, as I said, being Muslim and Latino, having that experience, like feeling those injustices and also like seeing the injustices. I think it was around like seventh grade when the Baltimore riots happened, and like there was a lot of police killings of innocent black men, and that was becoming very publicized. And that's when I kind of started to become more aware of the problems we have in this country. Before, I was, as I said, I was very sheltered growing up, so I knew they were there. But I was never, they were never in my face the way that they became around that time when I was in middle school. And so I kind of took steps to become a lot more educated on issues that I wasn't prior to that, I wasn't educated on them at all. And just becoming more informed about, at first I was trying to become very informed about black issues, just because I feel like there was a lot of, you know, especially in my community, the Muslim community, we didn't talk about that at all, because oftentimes, you know, the Arab community, South Asian community, there's a lot of anti-blackness rooted in those communities. And even the Latino community, that's something we have to work on. We have a lot of anti-blackness rooted in our community too, and a lot of colorism. And so noticing that, I became, I wanted to become a lot more aware of the issues that, you know, black Americans were facing, or even Afro-Latinos, a lot of issues that Afro-Latinos were facing. And from there, I branched into a bunch of different, you know, areas, Latino struggles, you know, Muslim struggles, becoming more educated on everything else.
That's awesome. And let me tell you, you said that you don't feel like you can call yourself an activist, but thinking about our wonderful Dolores Huerta, she remembered that she says that every single person can change the world and is a potential activist. So even if you think that you're not an activist, but through your poetry and just through your presence, it's so powerful, and being so young, that makes you an activist, because you're giving us something to talk about and standing against, you know, things that are wrong with this world. So you are an activist in our eyes, and at the Resource Center,
thank
we are
you.
Just so proud of having you. So my next
thank
question
you.
To you is, tell me about your family. Has there been any engagement, community engagement on your grandmother's part, your mother?
Well, actually, like from my, you know, my mother's side of my family, we have a very long history of activism. My great grandmother's uncle was Juan Marineo, and he was part of the Communist Party, and he played a big part in the Communist Revolution in Cuba. And I mean, I'm personally still on the fence when it comes to my beliefs about communism, just because I had a lot of learning and unlearning to do about it. But, like, historically, we do have, we're very involved in politics, and we were very involved in activism. I think also, you know, my abuela, she's very, you know, she has very strong beliefs about, you know, equality and people being treated with respect. And my mother has the same beliefs as well. And I think also growing up Muslim, I grew up, my family was always, felt very strongly about Islamophobia and, you know, the issues facing the Muslim community. So that was something that I grew up in. So activism, I guess, has always been a part of my family in one way or another, both in my family today and historically, like the family members I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, Anissa, we have, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm pronouncing it in Spanish. Is that how you pronounce
it? No,
your
it's
name?
Good. You're saying it right.
Okay, Anissa. So we have 4 minutes left. What I'm thinking of doing, because we still have a couple of questions left, I'm going to end this episode, and then we can either call in into my conference call line, or I can create another episode, and you call back in. I'm going to the same number, okay? I just don't want for us to run out of time and miss anything. I have 4 questions left, okay? Is that okay with you?
Yes, perfectly fine.
Give me 5 minutes to create the new session, and then I'll send you an email and tell you when it's ready, okay?
All right, okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'll call you in a little. I mean, we'll talk in a little while.
All right.